Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Father. Glory to God. Now, we're going to talk today about Christian ethics and etiquette. Or etiquette, however you want to say it. But we're going to talk a little bit about that today because, sadly, we've watched as the moral decline of our nation, of the world, of people. And we see so much disrespect and hate and those kind of things in the world. Right? And it ought not be so. We all live in this world together and we all ought to treat one another, as the Word of God says, like we want to be treated. And behave the way that we would like to see people behave. And so, you know, we'll get into this just a little bit. Let me just start by saying this. No one ever gets a second chance to make a first impression. You'll never get a second chance to make a first impression. Think about that for just a minute. So as we're talking about this, we understand that integrity, I'm going to give you a little bit of a definition here. Integrity is the adherence to moral and ethical principles, honesty and soundness of moral character. That's what integrity is. Every born again child of God ought to be a person of integrity. Amen. Every born again, we represent the kingdom of heaven. And so we ought to, everyone, be a person of integrity. So as we're looking at ethics and etiquette, you know, I want you to kind of understand what they are. Ethics are the principles of right or good conduct. Okay? Simply that, the principles of right or good conduct. Now, etiquette, it's defined as the prescribed forms and practices of correct behavior. And of course, when you put them together, they deal with practicing the principles of right or good conduct. Okay? So when we talk about ethics, we talk about etiquette, we're talking about how to conduct ourselves. And you say, well, Pastor, we don't have to be told how to conduct ourselves. I beg the pardon. We all need it. I said we. Well, there's what can happen, see, is you can start lacking. I'm not even going to ask this morning how many of you gentlemen opened the door for your wife to get in the car. Because I don't want to know. See what I'm saying? We can let it slip. It's not because you don't love her, it's just because you're not thinking. And we ought to be thinking all the times of the right conduct, the things that we ought to be doing. You know, and you say, well, Pastor, you're just old-fashioned. I may be old-fashioned. I'm old enough to be old-fashioned. Okay? But ain't nothing messes with me worse than to be at Walmart and watch some young punk jump out of the car, take off, and he's halfway in Walmart while his wife's still back in the car, struggling to get one or two kids out, and here she comes with them on her hips trying to get them in the store, and he's in there acting like Joe Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Baby, you fathered them. You ought to be a father to them. You married her, be a husband to her. Might get a little rough today, I'm sorry, but I'll just apologize ahead of time. But we're talking about proper conduct. You know, we're talking about ethics and etiquette. So, you know, Christians, we must strive to present ourselves in a manner that separates us from the world and it brings glory to God. Children of God. People know if you go to church or not. You know. And then a lot of them get on your social media and see that you say you go to church. Right? So, you know, how you behave yourself in the world, it means something. If you're acting like them, then they don't think you're any different than them. Right? Okay. So jump over here with me to 2 Corinthians. We're going to go into a couple of scriptures before we go into some of this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, let's look at verse 14 here. It says this. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, when it's talking about coming out and being separate from people, it's not talking about that you can't be around them. He's talking about come out from their ways and do the things that God would have you to do. Don't let them be an influence to you to try. It seems like the church is trying its best to become more like the world. The reason you got saved was to get out of the world. Why in the world do you want to get tangled back up in that mess? And so he's telling us here, you know, that we've got to come out from among them and be separate, be different, because we can't act like them if we're going to try to win them to Christ. I know that was old adage, you know, and I know Paul said, I came out, became all things to all people. But when Paul's talking about that, what he's talking about is I had everything they needed. Didn't matter whether they were poor or rich, no matter what their gender, no matter what it was. I had the Word of God for them. Okay? And Paul was talking about, I can get down on their level to minister to them, but I'm not going to get down to their level on the way they act. You see, and that's what you and I have to, as Christians, we cannot do that. Real quickly, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 here. Let's start there. It says, you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As a child of God, people ought to see that there's a difference in us. I'm not talking about walking around acting like you're holier than thou. I'm just talking about your conduct, your ethics, your etiquette will always be something that is impeccable. You're honest, not trying to cheat folk. Come on. You're not running around telling lies and big stories. Right? See, when we start thinking about this, people do watch that. Now, our actions and our conduct, it's what shows the world that we've been changed by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? They see that change in us. Right? They see that change. They see our lifestyle. They see the way we talk, the way we act ourselves. And I'll be honest with you, just a simple thing like you getting up and going to church every Sunday morning convicts the lost person. Amen. I can testify to that. I've told this story before. I can remember right now standing in the Prater Borders field down there and seeing a preacher whose name was Grant Cantle. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. Go down the road. I didn't think about going to church or anything, but when I saw him go down the road, something on the inside of me said, they're having revival down there tonight. You ought to go. You think about that. I knew of him, knew about him, knew he was a man of God, and I went down there and got saved. Praise God. Amen. See, I mean, you know, so people watch us. They see what we do. They know what we're doing. They're watching you even when you don't know they're watching you. That's the thing about it. People watch this broadcast right here that have never darkened this door and probably never will darken this door. Number one, for peer pressure. They don't want to be talked about by their friends like you're talked about. And they believe the lies that get told. You know, and all they're doing is allowing somebody else to hinder them from the blessing of the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you something, the Spirit of God's in this place big right now. Amen. You can come and be blessed and be healed and your life can be changed. Praise God. Okay. Now, understand that ethics, etiquette, and integrity applies to everybody. Okay? It applies to everybody. It applies to the world. You know, but it's especially to us Christians. The world won't be the world. They'll, you know, you hope you find good people in the world, and I believe that people are mostly good. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't have much hope. But I believe people are mostly good. Even some of those, the rotten scoundrels, you just got to understand that they are lost. and they don't have Jesus in their life. And once they get saved, they can become the best Christian in the kingdom of God. Because it takes the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to change a person. But once we are changed, then we need to be operating in proper ethics, proper etiquette, and proper integrity. But, you know, it's sad that it's not taught much anymore. It's not taught much. I said teached, didn't I? That's all right. But it's not taught much anymore. And I was just thinking as I was meditating on the things I wanted to say, I started thinking way back to when I was in grade school. And we had a teacher there, the sixth grade teacher in Prater Borders at that time. I think she's gone on there. Emily Russell's been gone for a while, hadn't she? But she was a lady there in our church. She taught sixth grade. And she would make us country boys sit at her table when we went to lunch. Prater Borders had those big long tables that came out from the wall, so it was like a big long bench table with the little chairs there. And she would always make the boys sit where she sat. So she would always sit at the boys' table. Well, number one, boys are meaner. Right? Come on. You teachers, can I get an amen? Most of the time, it's changing a lot now. But back then, okay, the boys were more mean. Okay? But while we were there, you know what she would do to us? She would say things like this. This is the proper way to hold a fork. Because, you know, being country, right? It was like a shovel, right? So she would show us this is the proper way to hold a fork. And she'd look at somebody, chew with your mouth closed. Think about that for a minute. Now, you say, well, you should, everybody, listen, when you're raised in the country, that's things you don't even know. You know, I can remember as she would be teaching classes, somebody said, you know, post. I'm supposed to do this, or he's supposed to do that, or whatever. She'd say, post. I don't see a post. And she'd correct them. It's supposed. You know. And she was trying to teach us a little ethics, a little etiquette about things, you know. And so it's not being taught today. How many of, I'm not even going to ask you to hold up your hands, but how many of you right now, if you were asked to set a proper table, would know where the fork, the spoon, and the knife goes, and what's the difference between a regular fork and a salad fork? I'm not even going to ask, because I'd have to get to looking at it again myself, you know. But you know, when you go somewhere proper, you know, you don't want to be a hillbilly hick, but there you are. Guilty. Come on now, I'm not calling you hillbilly. I'm just saying, it's because we haven't been taught things like that. And you say, well, I don't know what the purpose is. It's just knowing how to behave yourself in certain situations. What the proper etiquette is for things. And that's kind of what we want to talk about today, and especially in the church. But again, it's important in the world. I remember one guy talking about a guy that taught him how the proper way to cut up a steak. And I know some of you are looking at me funny now. Just any way I can get about it, brother. Not necessarily. Okay. So I want us to look at some of this stuff, because it ain't. It's just, hear me say ain't. It isn't taught. Okay. Now, don't expect me to correct my English, okay, because I've been talking like this for coming up on 64 years in May. So I just kind of talk like this. She did try to work on us, but you can see that didn't help her much. Right? Well, you see, here's the thing, okay? Another thing about the right etiquette and ethics is who you hang around. Yeah. Right? You hang around, just like I have all my life, you hang around folks that says his'n and yourn. Right? Guess what you'll say? His'n and yourn. You know, a lot of folks migrated from here to go to Ohio back years and years ago, and they went up there to work and stuff, and then Some years later, they'd come back, and when they come back, they didn't say his'n and yourn. They talked very proper. They talked like they came from the Buckeye State. And we'd make fun of them because we thought they talked funny. But they were talking proper. We're the ones talk funny. I'll never forget, I went one time to Oklahoma and got up in front of a crowd of people with Brother Emmett Spencer. He said, get up there and just greet the people. I got up and said, how y'all doing? The whole place just erupted in laughing. I didn't. Then it dawned on me, well, you showed them you're hillbilly, but that's all right. I'm proud to be hillbilly. I am. But at the same time, when I need this, I want it. Because just because you're hillbilly don't mean you're dumb. Come on now. See, that's the way the world portrays us. We're just a bunch of dumb hillbillies, but that's not what we are. And especially as the church, we're the sons and daughters of God. So we've got to look at some things here, some principles here. And here, listen to this now. John 8:32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Right? Isn't that, that's Scripture. So you can say amen to that. I want to just kind of say this about that. Usually the truth that sets you free is the truth that you will accept. If you'll accept that truth, it can set you free. But you can deny that truth and you'll still stay in bondage to stuff. Okay? And so as we're looking at this, first thing I kind of want to touch on a little bit, and I'm not going to go very deep in it, but I want to talk about the fact that there is, just like in the world, there's levels of authority. You know, you've got the president, you've got the three branches of government, and it comes, just keeps right on coming down into your local city. People in authority. The church also has an authority to it. Okay? And a lot of people don't understand this, because you can tell the way they behave themselves in their church that they don't understand authority, especially spiritual authority. Understand that in the church, Jesus is the shepherd. He is the shepherd. He is the leader. But in every church, He places pastors who are under shepherds. Now, a pastor gets his orders from Jesus, and then he does what the Lord tells him to do. And then under the pastors, then that's when you come into to having the elders, which are in leadership. You have deacons. Then you have heads of department. You have all those things. And there is a order to the way things are done. Okay? And so there's etiquette when it even comes to that, you know. I have taught this before, but I've never told anybody they have to call me pastor. But I've taught this before, and most of you people call me pastor. Because you see, here's the thing. When you talk about spiritual authority and those kind of things, what you're doing is you're honoring the office, not necessarily that person. Come on, there have been some presidents I absolutely did not like. But I would still call them president because of the office. Do you understand that? Okay. And I call my pastor, and always have called my pastor, pastor. And I have always honored him as my pastor. And he's not even pastor now, but he still was my pastor all those times, and now he's pastor. Still will be pastor. You know, and I've always held him to a high esteem, because also he was my spiritual father. But the same is true even with the leadership, with your elders and your deacons and those kinds of things. You need to understand that there is a manner of order in the church, and proper etiquette respects those offices. Okay? It's not you're trying to put some man on a pedestal. I don't want to be put on a pedestal, but you do need to understand that I stand in the office of the pastor. And as the office, being in the office of the pastor, then I'm the one in charge. That means if it's good, it's my fault. If it's bad, it's my fault. If you do something, it's my fault. Because I'm in charge, okay? But understand that. And there's scriptural basis for this. I'm going to give it to you. Because, see, the pastor or the leadership of the church is just not one of the good old boys. And a lot of folks want to do that. You know, most churches don't even call their pastor pastor. They just call them by their first name. Or the preacher. See, it's kind of quiet, but I know we're teaching some here. But listen here to what Hebrews 13:17 says. Obey them. Look at that. That says obey. Does yours? Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. Now why? For they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they do it with joy and not with grief. For that's unprofitable for you. Think about that one for just a minute. It's unprofitable for you if you cause me grief. Okay. No, what he's saying is this. We need to respect leadership, because you've got to understand something. I'm responsible for you. See, the thing that is, to whom much is given, much is required. And so I'm responsible for you. And that's why I get blamed no matter what anybody in this church does. I get blamed for it. Even though it's totally out of my hands, anything in the world I can do about it, I still get blamed. Because that's the pastor, you know. And then if you hear something, you hear about that church. My church didn't do nothing. Somebody in the church might have. But that church didn't do nothing. But that's just the way, see, that's the way people think. And we have to make sure as the church, we don't think that way. Okay? And so when it comes to the proper etiquette, then you address people that way. You address them according to their title, right? If I went down to Frankfurt, I would address our governor as Governor Brashear. Why? Because I'm honoring his office. Okay? And so, and that's true, you know, with all ministry and that kind of thing, you know. Sometimes, you know, if you notice, we'll address Brother Mike Manuel when he comes in as Evangelist Mike Manuel. You know, now it doesn't matter to him and it don't matter to me. You do what you want to do, but I'm showing you proper etiquette, okay? To do however you want to do when it comes to leadership, okay? Because again, it's not about the man. It's about respect and honor in the office. I remember Lester Summerall tells the story. He's gone on to be with the Lord too. But anyway, he tells the story, and he was a great man of God. And he said he took a young group, one time over to a foreign country. And they were in that country, and the king came out. And he was going to greet them and actually had prepared like a meal, I mean, just a reception for them. You know, and of course, Brother Lester Summerall, he was very honored, you know. And he, you know, shook the king's hand. We'll talk about shaking in a minute. But he shook the king's hand, you know, and the king was talking. And he said, all of a sudden, one of those young men that was in that group just ran right up and throwed his hand around the king and said, hey, king, how about a picture? And that king said, get your hands off of me. I'm the king. The young man was embarrassed. Lester Summerall was embarrassed. And the king was angry. You see, it wasn't that he cared for the young man hugging him. But you see, he didn't show him the respect that he should have shown him as being king over that country. And you've got to realize, as king of that country, if he wanted to, he could have had him killed right then. And Lester also tells that the story just to help us to see and know, you know, you have to be aware of where you're at and what proper etiquette is wherever you're at. Okay? You gotta know these things. And that, you know, I when I go to a church somewhere else, you know, or I bring somebody in here, you know what they ask me? How do I need to dress? Because they want to have the proper etiquette when they get here. So they, you know, they're not overdressed for me or underdressed for me. I always tell them, I don't care. I'm going to wear a suit and tie. You wear what you want to. But you see, I made up my mind a long time ago. When I first got called to preach, I you know, again, just a country boy, didn't know nothing whatsoever. I said, I'll never wear a suit and tie. I'm not going to be one of them suit and tie wearing preachers. Definitely not. But you know what I found out? I found out in the Word of God that we're supposed to give God His very best. And so I began to dress. And I found out that by being dressed, and I've heard this from other aspects of things, there is a level of respect that goes with that. See, you're looking at me funny. If I've got a suit and tie on and I'm somewhere, I get called sir. The evangelists tell me when they're going back and forth to ministry, if they've got their suit on and they go up to get their tickets, sometimes they even get bumped up because they look like a professional. They've got a suit on. And they get talked to different than they do if they've just got plain clothes on. Why is that? Because there is a certain respect with that. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want my doctor to pop into the room wearing Hawaiian clothes. Right? Because you're thinking, this dude's happy-go-lucky. I do not really. Right? You want him in uniform. You at least look like a doctor, hopefully. You know? Right? Come on now. And so I'm just showing you some of these things. But in the church, there is spiritual authority. And it's not that, you know, I don't want to be looked up. I'm just trying to show you, because in most churches, they don't have a clue about what I just told you. They really don't have any ideal about spiritual authority in the church. And it matters. As you've seen there, it matters, because a lot of times in churches, the members give their pastor what for. They take him out to lunch without ever feeding him a bite. You know what I'm talking about. I tell you what, I didn't like the message he preached today. I'll tell you that much. I'll tell you, he could have done this or he could have done that. Be careful. The Bible says, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. You got to be careful when you get into those things. But again, at the same time, you know, I've never been disrespected here. And I've had people call me by name and say, oh, I'm sorry. And they don't bother me. I'm just telling you proper etiquette. Okay? Proper etiquette. You know, and once it kind of gets into, I mean, we go fishing. Chuck, Scotty, all of us guys, we get together, we'll be fishing, and all of us out. And you know what they call me on the boat? Pastor. You know what they call me in the restaurant when we eat, when we're fishing? Pastor. You can watch people sometimes. The other day, Brother Scotty went up. Some guy was talking to me. He said, that's my pastor back there. You know? That's just because they just got in it. I didn't tell them to do that. Don't tell you to do it, Brother Scott. Never did. You know, but I'm just showing you the proper etiquette when it comes. And, you know, we have Elder Rick and we have Elder Darrell that are part of the leadership. And then we have all of our deacons. I'm not going to try to name you all. I might miss somebody and don't want to do that. Okay? But here's the thing. You just respect the office they hold, the position they hold. Now, let me just say this. Not only should you respect the position somebody else holds, but you ought to respect the position that you hold. You are a son and daughter of God. Don't ever let anybody make you any less. Don't let them put you down. You need to look at them and say, excuse me, I'm a king's kid. Come on now. See, I know that didn't go over real, because you're thinking, I don't know if I'd say that to anybody or not. But that's who you are, whether you want to believe it or not. Now, let me just say this. The degree of ethics, etiquette, and integrity that you conduct yourself with will set a standard for your life. If you accept less than, then that's the way it'll be. You want to always be demanding more and more out of yourself. When we were building this church, people saying would say things like, why you want to do that for? I mean, why are you doing that? Why are you building that big? Why don't you just, actually, one of the bankers said, why don't you just build you something smaller, you know? And I said, because God didn't tell me to build something smaller. You know, trying to get me to that, because, you know, when, even back in 2000, 1999, 2000, you know, we were looking at $350,000. You know, and that was a whole lot of money. It still is for me a lot, and there's still a whole lot now. But back then, it was a whole lot of money. And they kept wanting us to build, you know, a little white church and set it somewhere where you couldn't have no parking. You know, they give us some money for that. But praise God. Now we're sitting on a place that's worth about $3 million. You know, and it's not me. And it's not you. It's God. Amen. But you see, I'm not going to lower my standard for somebody else. I'm going to hold my standard of integrity no matter what somebody else is doing. Come on, Annie, you got to understand, you got to practice these things at home. Did you hear me? I'm just going to tell you this right now. When we sit down and have Easter dinner, Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, whatever dinner Pastorette decides she wants to throw, okay, and the kids come down, no matter what she's got fixed, rolls or biscuits or whatever, if you say, pass me a roll, you ain't picking that up and throwing it at somebody. You're not even picking it up. Because if you start to, pass the basket. Why? Because it's proper etiquette. Okay? She's honest. She makes it sure. She's taught Lillian how to lay out the silverware. That's right. Just for a dinner at home. Why? Because it applies no matter where you go. If you practice it, you'll stay with it. Amen. It's just the proper thing to do. Now, she gets, you know, I'm a guy, and sometimes, you know, guys will drink after each other and all kinds of stupid stuff like that, but I can't let her know that. Okay? Because her theory is this. I kiss them lips. Okay. But when we're talking about it, that, you know, we need to make sure that we're practicing even at home certain things. You know, and then when it's just me and Pastorette sometimes, you know, we've been together now coming up on 47. It's getting now where it's keeping hard to count. We got married in 1979, so this is an odd year. So this is 46. So what is 48? Is that what it becomes? Somebody real quick with math. Come on. 26? 46. Never mind. 46. Okay. But we've been together a long time. Okay. Now here's the thing. You change as you get old. Okay. When we were young, we might kiss and exchange gum. But she's gotten older now. Is that your water or mine? Just saying. Okay. Let's get on with this. I'm sorry. Okay. Now, here's the thing we've got to understand. We're talking about church now, and let's get into this a little bit more. You've got to remember that you are coming to church to worship God first. First thing, the reason you're coming to church, the very reason, is to worship God first. But you're also coming to fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Right? And therefore, we need to conduct ourselves accordingly. Okay? And let's just a little bit, you know, and don't get too uptight with me, but I'm just giving you some proper things. Okay? For example, greeting people. We have greeters at the door, okay? The proper etiquette for greeting someone, for the first time especially, is an arm's length handshake. So he got real quiet real quick. If you don't know that person or you're not very well acquainted with that person, you stick out your hand. Yeah, but now, you know, Pastor Mike, I am a hugger. Well, I like hugs. The church likes hugs. We're hugging people, right? We're hugging people. But you've got to understand there is a proper way to hug. Okay? I'm going to get my wife, if she will, to. I know she wants this. I know she wants to do this, but I don't think she wants me to hug another woman, so I'll just make sure that I'm hugging my wife. Okay? So, stand up. Come on, stand up. So, this is my wife, okay? So, my hug for my wife is going to be this. Right? Because I love her, and okay? And that's okay because we're married. Okay? But if this is another woman in the church that likes to hug, and like I said, I'm a hugger, here's what you do. You walk up and say, "Good to see you today. Look, notice, side hugs. We don't got body parts besides sides touching." Now you can say that if you want to. You can say, "Well, now that's just odd." Do you know how many divorces are in the church? Just as many as in the world. And it could start from one of these because somebody held on just a little bit longer. And somebody got maybe a little indication that, maybe they think, maybe they like me. Come on. Now you say that ought not happen to church, and you're right. But it don't keep it from happening. And so you have to have things that are proper and know the right things, you know. And again, you know, once you get to know somebody better, then the side hugs is better than the handshake. Right? But some people don't like to hug, period. And if you extend a hand, then you know, and they extend you a hand, then you know they're all right with a handshake. You know, now sometimes I'll be around somebody and I'll stick out my hand and they'll just throw their arms out like that and I know it's a hug, okay? Right? But it's things that we need to understand this, church, because behaving ourselves properly in the church the proper conduct and doing things the right way. We have a lot of safeguards set up because I've been around a while and I've seen churches come and go and I've seen pastors fall and I've seen church members fall. And a lot of times it's because they didn't have some guidelines. I never counsel a woman by myself. Now, I will a man, but I want a woman. Pastorette's going to be there with me. You say, well, why is that? Because you don't want to open yourself up to anything. You don't give place to the devil. We don't allow in our classrooms or anywhere else, we don't allow a woman and a man there together that's not married. You don't open up doors and give the devil place. It's just kind of a proper etiquette, okay? I mean, you know, if you've never read the books, the Five Love Languages, that's some good books to read because it talks about different things that can happen. And who is it that wrote that? I'm trying to think real quick. Lost me. Anybody remember? Oh, gosh. Been too many years. But anyway, when he writes, and one of the things he writes about is the fact that you have to be careful, even like in workplace situations, you know, you get to meeting up at the water fountain. And he called it the tingles. In other words, you're kind of attracted to that person, and all of a sudden you make an excuse to go to the water fountain and meet them. First thing you know, you've got trouble. So you have to be careful about these things. I know that doesn't necessarily apply right here, but I just want to show you this proper etiquette in our greeting and stuff. Okay? Now, let's talk about something that's going to make a few people mad at me. Maybe, I don't know, but let's talk about dress. When we talk about the proper etiquette and ethics and dress and integrity and dress, here's what I say. Whatever you have that's decent and conservative is okay. Did you hear me? Decent and conservative. Now, let me take this just a little step farther, okay? Just because it's the new style does not mean it's appropriate in church. Yeah, but that's what everybody's wearing, you know. Listen to me. The church is not a club. Come on. We're coming here. We are coming here to expose our heart to God, not our stuff to everybody else. Now, with that being said, proper dress length has never changed. Okay? It always has been. When you put your arms to your side, your dress ought to be at least at your fingertips or lower. I know some of you looking at me real funny. Okay? Even at that, we have a praise team. They're on an elevated stage. What happens when you raise your arms with a dress on? Comes up 4 or 5 inches, right? So there's always a struggle with them trying to find things, you know, to wear. Because I do understand the way the styles are. Okay? We understand that, but at the same time, we're in church. We're representing the Most High. Okay? And I understand you watch TV. I watch a lot of news. Okay? And different things like that. And here's what I see when you have the news ladies. They're sitting there. Of course, I can't cross my legs as much as they can. But they're sitting there like this, and they have to put their hands here. And the reason they have to put their hands here is because their dress is already up to here. And that means this is up to here, and they have to do this to keep from showing their panties. Can I be that blunt? How many knows that's too short? I don't care where you're at. That's too short. Okay? Whether you're a heathen or not, it's too short. Now, I know it works in the world. And I came from a generation of miniskirts. And you know, when I was in the world, I liked them miniskirts. I'm a man, okay? But it didn't make it right. You know? And usually the decent people weren't wearing them. It was the ones that wanted to party. Come on now. And I know some of you are part of them. Right? Come on. Some of you older ladies, you know, because that was the style. And but we're Christians now. We're children of God now. We shouldn't want to come into church exposing ourselves. Okay? I have literally had to pray for people to where when I prayed, I had to turn my head sideways. Because the girls were out. Okay? So, when we talk about dressing, neckline means something. Proper etiquette means I'm not exposing myself to the world. Well, that's that. I mean, you know, Pastor gets aggravated. She starts looking for clothes and stuff, and she starts looking for dresses. She said, you know what? She'll try one on, and she'll come stick her chest out at me and say, look, I can't wear that to church. You know, I'm kind of like hubba, 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 you know, but... But you're right, you can't wear that to church, okay? And so she'll either find something that comes up, or she makes or buys one of those things that goes on there that covers from there to there, and so that things are not exposed. Okay? Is this all right? I mean, I'm just being real. We're teaching truths here. I mean, if you want to see how a lot of people go to church, go pay attention at the restaurant when you go out and see people that have just come back from church, and you'll see folks that kind of look like they've been to a party sometimes. And you know, I know it makes it more difficult for the younger generation because you know they have a hard time finding things, but it's there. It might not be the newest style, but there's things there. You know, and so you just have to do it. Proper pants. And this getting into men and women. Proper pants. Whatever pants that you wear, it ought not to expose anything from them. Okay? Ought to be loose enough to where things aren't showing. Yeah, I know it's funny, but it's true. But we have to talk about it. You know. How many of, now come on, let's just be honest with me. How many of you have been out Walmart or been out somewhere and see them wiring around those stretchy things? Well, I don't know what they're called. I don't know. I'm old. Leggings and jeggings and all that stuff, you know. Whatever it is. And they're pulled up so tight that you don't got to imagine nothing. Because they're not wearing something that covers themselves. And a lot of them are wearing that, plus they got the shirt that comes up to here. Now, see, what you're doing is saying, look at me. I don't value myself. And then, you know, people get mad because, you know, some sick weirdo out there does something. Parents, you ought not never let your daughter out like that. Men, don't ever wear your pants so tight that you're revealing things. I'm getting on to everybody here. You know. It's true. You know, you can wear decent stuff without exposing yourself, and you're just as dressed as anybody else. I got no problem with blue jeans. Blue jeans are great. I like wearing blue jeans. Again, I hold an office, we actually hold our pulpit to a higher standard. And sadly, but we hold our women to a little higher standard than we do the men, because we let them wear blue jeans from time to time and very seldom let the women. Well, there's a difference how a man looks in blue jeans and a woman looks in blue jeans. See, you're looking at me funny again. Well, that's not my fault. I know it's not your fault. You've got to understand, I'm just looking out for you and looking out for the congregation. You don't want to be that person that's drawing somebody else's attention away from the Lord by the way you look. And I'm just going to say this, and you can get mad and say what you want to about me. Men are men, because I am one. I know how men are. Now, not so much knowing how women is, but I do know that just yesterday, my wife took a hissy fit. You want to know what she took a hissy fit about? Austin went to Comic-Con. You know, most of you, anybody know what Comic-Con is? Okay, some of you know what Comic-Con is. It's people that dress up or go out to, you know, like all the science fiction stuff and all that, you know, the people that have had movies and stuff, people will dress up like Star Trek and all those kind of things. And Austin went down there. And then he sends her a message, I guess, or did he? He sent her a picture. And there he is, hugged up with Hercules, Kevin Sorbo. Now, he's as old as I am now, probably, or older. But she wasn't thinking about the old Kevin Sorbo. She was picturing the young Hercules that was running around there in the TV show with all of his abs and all of his muscles and his long flowing hair. And she said, "Here I am lusting on the way to church." I said, "Yep, you better repent. We're people too, okay? We like to have a good time." She was just messing. But yeah, she was just like, "Daggone it. I wanted to be, I'd like to got to meet him." Well, I'd like to go to meet him too, because now he is, see, if you don't know who I'm talking about, he played in God's Not Dead. He was the atheist in God's Not Dead. And that help you a little bit know who he is, you know, that's after he's older or whatever. But he's a very devout Christian now. And I'd like to go to meet him too and just tell him I was proud of his stance for the Lord, even in Hollywood and in those things, you know? Okay. So how did I get there, Pastor? Do you know? Let me pull this back out of here. So it does matter how we dress, because we don't want people looking at us. That's where I was at, wasn't it? You don't want to be the person that draws somebody's attention away from God. I promise you, if Kevin Sorbo was here back in his younger days, Pastor Ed wouldn't be hearing a thing I'm saying. If he was up here walking around, I'm having fun, okay? All right. So we got to be careful about that. Again, arm length dresses, watch the neck, make sure the paints are not revealing anything, okay? Now, with me being said this, I'm going to close here just in a minute. With me talking about all this, remember now, church, we are the church, okay? And the ideal situation here is for people to come in from the world and be saved. Now, I'm teaching you all this so that you know how to behave yourself. Understand that we're on the precipice, I believe, of a great revival. God moving in a mighty way. So please understand that they're going to be people come in here, and everything I've told you not to be and not to do, that's what they're going to be and that's what they're going to do. Because in their mind, dressing up could be that dress that's plumb up to there. Because they're trying to dress up or whatever. It doesn't matter. They're going to come in with everything, looking every way. And you know what? You've got to show them some grace. We're children of God. You show them some grace. Give God time to work on them. This man right here. Can I use you? You don't care. I know he don't care. Yeah, you. Yeah, you. When they first started coming, they were sitting way back here on the back. I don't think you probably in your mind had a thought of you would ever wear a suit down here, did you? I didn't think so. Because that wasn't where he was from. He was from, and I'm going to tell a little bit on you, but not much, but he was from the drug scene and that kind of thing. But he got in here and God got a hold of him. And now look at him. The second seat back. He's an usher. But not only is he an usher, on his days off, he comes down here and does stuff. Anything we need done. Or ask me, you got something I need to do? They stay after church on Sunday and sweep and clean up the place. When I got here this morning, he was sweeping and blowing off everything out there on that side porch out there. Now, I'm not doing that to pump him up. I'm just showing you what God can do in a person if they'll let him. He's a perfect example of how God can get a hold of somebody, and man, ain't nobody I'd rather be with as him right there. Because he just loves to have a good time and he loves God. You know? And those people right there are people that God has changed their lives. And Chastity's right there with him, but I'm just using him because I didn't know if Chastity would get mad at me or not. Okay? But I'm just saying it's going to happen. Okay? People are going to be that way. And so we just got to make sure we love them. We got to make sure that you look past and just realize I had a past too. And you know, there's a lot of us ain't too proud of our past. Okay? You know? Brother Brad back there, I'm going to get on him a little bit. They sit back there and be so quiet. They ease in and ease out and whatever. But we fish together too. He is my first cousin. We got the same birthday, matter of fact. May the 10th, you can get us both something at the same time if you want. So, we were first cousins, but we hadn't been around each other much, had we? We finally got fishing together and got to know each other more, you know. And I found out, you know, I didn't know in my mind he was with some pretty rough people, but I didn't know that he was the designated driver. He didn't do drugs. He didn't drink. He didn't do any of that, even though he had friends that did, you know. So I had no idea about that until we got to talking later. So not everybody that you see with certain crowds is particularly the way the rest of the crowd is. And so don't ever be trying to judge somebody just because of what you may think or who you've seen them around. And even for people that maybe look different than us. Let's make sure that we bring them in with love and then let God work on them and change them. You can't. It takes God to change a person. Amen. You know, I hear wives all the time saying, wanting to marry somebody, and they say, well, I can change him. No, you can't. If God doesn't change him, you can't change him. It takes God to do that. Okay? So let's just, and I hope I've not made anybody mad at me, but I feel like it's just so important. I mean, look at our country. Look at our crazy Congress. You talk about people that have went away from what's right and the proper way to conduct yourself as leaders of the country. All of them. You know? I mean, and if we don't get back, if somebody don't get back to some integrity and somebody don't get back to some ethics and etiquette, we'll lose our country. We won't have the right to come and worship. But it can start with us in the church. We don't need to act like the world because we're not the world. We don't need to be like the world because we're not in this world. We're in the kingdom of God. So God has brought us to this place and He's teaching us these things. And so you may hear some more about it, but I just wanted to bring some things to your remembrance. And especially, you know, don't forget conduct, okay? Your conduct outside this church ought to be the same as it is in the church. And the same in the church as it is outside the church. You ought not be one person when you come to church and somebody else when you go out. Okay? Because you ought to be the same all the time. Because you have the Holy Spirit with you at all times. He sees everything we say, do, and right? So let's just kind of remember this. Peter tells us that we're a chosen generation. Okay? We've been chosen to represent the kingdom of God. And so if we're going to represent the kingdom of God, we need to do it with the most integrity, the best ethics and etiquette that we possibly can. You know, you never know that the way you behave yourself may cause somebody else to want to come and be saved and give their life to Jesus, especially if they know your past and they see how you are now. Okay? Stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father God, that you help us, Lord, to maintain that integrity, Father God, that you have instilled in us by the Holy Spirit. Lord, to let our ethics and our etiquette be such as is becoming to you, Father. No matter where we're at, no matter who we're around, Father, there's no place for us to let our hair down and be like the world. Help us always to realize that and remember that. Father, I pray today if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that today's the day they'll say, you know what, I'm going to make Jesus Lord of my life. I want Jesus in me to change me. You deal with hearts as only you can, Father, and we'll give you glory for that. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name.